Well, I'm thankful today that we, as the song was sung, we have a God that we can trust in. We can trust in somebody who is sure, somebody that is there 100% of the time. You don't have to worry about Jesus being on a trip, asleep, not aware, not caring. We serve a God who is a God that hears, cares, understands, and has a vested interest in getting us through safely. Feels like that we live in a time where activity continues to abound. Movement never ceases. Noise never stops. Feels like trouble is on every side a lot of the time. And I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist who said, "Be still and know that I am God." We live in a world where there is natural turmoil. From nature, we've experienced that in the last couple of weeks, haven't we? There's turmoil in nature. There is political turmoil. There is personal turmoil. There is much spiritual turmoil. And it seems like that the spirit of the world has been loosed in a great way. And it touches our lives. Everyone that's in here, lives are touched. And I am personally astounded at some of the things that I see, some of the things that have touched my life that I would not have expected because of the enemy, because of sin, because of the absence of God. And it seems like that in the midst of the turmoil, it also feels like that there is so much in the world today to consume and occupy our senses. So much to occupy what we are hearing, our sight, even our taste, things to go and things to do, and so much of it, I would say, is not of the positive variety. So much out there is not an encouragement spiritually to us. It's a drag to us. And so this morning I would like to encourage you with a passage. And I would even say that if you're into memorizing verses, these are good verses to memorize because they help keep our perspective in line, our thoughts in check, and that is in the fourth chapter of Philippians. I'd like to read several verses, maybe four or five verses in the fourth chapter of Philippians, and starting at the fourth verse. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace, not of man, but of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." What we have just read this morning outlines an approach that seems like is diametrically opposed to what is presented and pushed our way in all around us. On so many fronts, we are inundated with trouble. We are inundated with news of trouble. And oftentimes, what you don't hear is first the trouble and next the solution. Here's the trouble, but here's the light at the end of the tunnel. Is that what you normally hear when you turn the news on? No, it's like a constant stream of trouble, one after the other. And you get done, it's like, well, what's the answer? What's the solution? Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? And oftentimes there's not. And because of that, because we live in a world where there's so much being presented to us, we're on a 24/7 news cycle. There's so much that is put all around us for us to see and to hear and to partake of, and so much of it is so different from what we just read. It can be discouraging. It can be depressing. It can cause anxiety for both today and tomorrow. Is it just me, or have you been there? And with regards to Christian people accepting and allowing this state of mind and state of life to settle in and become our reality, I believe the Lord has something more for us. And I'm not here to tell you. I'm not here to preach a message that is higher than what I live or than what I believe reality is. Life is full of trouble. Jesus said that it was. You know, there may be those that preach, you know, out there, prosperity type preaching where if you just do the right things, then everything becomes okay. We're not in an okay world. We're in a world where there's trouble. You're going to face some tribulation. Mentioned last Sunday or two that Jesus said that. In this world, you're going to have some tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And we are in the shadow of the cross, if we will, of the one that has overcome the world. And so while there is trouble in the world, the Lord does not want us to be living in a reality that continues where we are in a depressed, downhearted, discouraged, anxious state where there is no light at the end of the tunnel, where there's no solution, where we give into it and say, I guess this is just the way it has to be. Yes, we're tempted with those things. Yes, we pass through the valley of anxiousness. Yes, we experience times where we feel discouraged. We're people. We have emotions. If you don't experience any of these things, I want to talk to you. I want to find how you found to be in that place, because I haven't found it yet. But I have found the one that is an overcomer of these things. And I believe the Lord wants us to be encouraged this morning to not allow the enemy to descend a dark cloud over us that we sometimes choose to follow around and look to the dark cloud and accept it as the state that we have to be accepting of. I'm just going to be depressed all of my life. I'm going to be anxious all of my life. I'm going to be discouraged all of my life. There's nothing I can do about it. The life of a Christian to other people maybe is consistent with the promises of the Bible, but for some reason, me, well, I'm different. I'm outside of the lines, and my lot in life is just going to be dark. That is the enemy of your soul. And I want to tell you this morning, there's good news. That while we yet experience trouble, we serve a God today that is light that is salvation, that has brought the Son of Man to come to give us victory in the midst of this troubled world. And I want to be a Christian that the Lord looks upon and recognizes as one who has their trust in Him. Not putting our head in the sand and saying there's no trouble, I'm just going to will it away. I'm not talking about a mental game where we just act like the trouble's not there. I'm talking about where we have real guardrails of trust. That while we journey through life, before we get way off somewhere off the road, we have some guardrails of trust that we can depend on. That when we hit those, we go, Lord, I'm turning it over to You. I'm trusting in You. And I wonder today what our level of trust is in the Lord. If we were to draw a scale on the board, and this was a scale of trust, where would we be? This is what I challenged myself with. If this was absolute trust, this is 10. And this is no trust in Jesus. And every little thing that comes our way, we lose our peace. And this, no matter what comes our way, perfect rest. I know it's subjective, but it's a good exercise to think about. I know we can't just put a number on it, but did you know that wherever we are, wherever we think we are, I believe that the Lord has something more for us. I believe this morning that God in heaven has a grace, a peace, an experience that is beyond wherever you think you may be. And I'm interested in experiencing growth. And Jesus Christ is interested in you experiencing growth. He has a better place for every one of us to be. And sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. And these verses here are an encouragement to me, and I'd like to think about them in the few minutes that we have left. The first verse that we read in the fourth chapter, the fourth verse of Philippians, says, "Rejoice! Rejoice!" And again, I say, rejoice! How much do we rejoice? Is it easier to rejoice or complain? Is it easier to thank the Lord for all of the good things of life, or is our natural tendencies often to look at everything that's not right in our lives? And there's plenty of it. We're not in heaven yet. haven't passed over into heaven yet. We live in the world. But what's easier to do? Did you know God wants us to rejoice because we have so much to rejoice in? He's done so much for us. Rejoicing is our duty as Christians before the Lord. But not only that, it's in our best interest to rejoice. Okay, I'll be honest with you. This past week, I didn't feel like rejoicing. I was in a place I didn't feel like rejoicing. And this was the message that the Lord had laid on my heart. And it was, does this apply to me too? Yep, applies to you too. Okay, Lord. And so I tried to rejoice when I didn't feel like rejoicing. Did you know that the Lord wants us to rejoice when we don't feel like rejoicing? Did you know that the Lord honors that? So I started singing a song that I didn't feel like singing. I was by myself. And did you know that the Lord helped me and blessed me? It didn't change so much the circumstances sometimes. But we have so much to turn our minds to rejoice in. And if the enemy would have his way, he would get us to be in a place where we're always gravitating towards what's wrong. Always focusing on what's wrong. This isn't right, and my job's not going right. And I feel tired, and this isn't good, and I've got that in front of me tomorrow, and I'm not understood, and it goes on and on and on. And if we're not careful, we can get in a rut of not rejoicing. We can get in a rut of thinking and focusing on negative things. Paul said, rejoice! And he didn't want to go on to the next verses yet until he said, and again I say, rejoice. He wanted to make his point. Rejoice. Genuine happiness is spiritual, by the way. Genuine happiness is spiritual in nature. And if you haven't found the place, the foot of the cross, you're trying to find happiness in yourself, in the circumstances of life, in the temporal things of life, you will never find true happiness. You won't. True happiness is spiritual. And I believe we have room to grow in that area. Draw closer to the Lord. Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. This word moderation has deep, significant meaning. And I want to give you a definite, the translation of the word moderation in the context that it was given here in the fifth verse. Moderation means meekness under provocation. Gentleness, ready to forgive, rightly balanced, control of your passions. And I feel so strongly about this word plopped here in this verse that I want to say that again. Paul said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation, let your meekness under provocation be known and observed by all men. Let your gentleness, let your readiness to forgive other people, let your control of your fleshly passions be seen and observed unto all men. When? Tomorrow? When circumstances change? No. Now is the accepted time. The Lord is at hand. The judge, God, the righteous judge, the one that we're going to stand before, the one who is observing your life and my life. It's our turn. It's batter up. You're next. Sometimes you're in a long line of people and you're waiting your turn to get up and hit the ball. You may be in a certain position. The world has been around for a while. But now in the year 2021, it's batter up. It's your turn. It's my turn. It's our time to be a light to the world. It's our time to fulfill the place that God wants you to fulfill. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. You're not just passing through and with no purpose. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for your life. And it's not all about you. And that's what strikes me about this word moderation. Let your moderation, and when you look at the definition of it, meekness under provocation, gentleness,
ready to forgive. Control of your passions. Being moderate, rightly balanced. You know what the common denominator is in all that? It's not all about what you want to do. You're being provoked. Back off. Be meek. You've been done wrong. Be willing to forgive. You feel like being hard to somebody because of what they've done? You be gentle. You feel like just living life. It's your life. It's yours to live. Go take it. Get whatever you want. Control your passions. Be rightly balanced. See, it's not all about us. God has a purpose for you, every person here, that is bigger than yourself. Paul recognized that. He said, if it's been up to me, I'm ready to go on. This isn't pleasant to the flesh. But because of the need that I see, because of the need that the Lord wants of me, then I want to fulfill my place. May God help us today. Let my moderation, let your moderation be known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. Our judge is at hand. It's time. And he went on and he said in the sixth verse, be careful for nothing. If we can get the first two verses amply applied, rejoice. Rejoice to the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. It's not all about you. It's about God and it's about other people. if we can get that in our heart, then it helps set us up for verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't allow yourselves to get outside of the rails of trust because we have a God who cares. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, with rejoicing, with the recognition of what God has done for me. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The peace that the world cannot give, Jesus said, I give you. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the God we serve. And when we can get a hold of that, when we can gird up the loins of our minds, rejoice in the Lord, let our moderation be known, and it's not all about me. I want to be a light to the world. And then I can come to the Lord and not feel so anxious about everything, recognizing that God is the one that's in control. Allows for peace in the midst of the storm. I read years ago, Adam Clark made a comment in the New Testament about some of the words of the Lord about not worrying about tomorrow. He said, prudent care is never forbidden by the Lord. The Lord's not saying, oh, well, you just shouldn't care about tomorrow. Just live and let live. Just trust the Lord. And then we're out there, you know, making poor decisions. We're not thinking about tomorrow in a prudent way. You know, prudent anxiety, that probably isn't a good combination of words. But it's having an understanding that if I don't care about this enough, it's probably going to come back and get me tomorrow. I need to be responsible. God has given us a mind to be responsible, to think ahead. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. In other words, think about tomorrow. Put up. And yet, what the Lord doesn't want from us, His children, He doesn't want us to live in a state where the absence of peace reigns. That's not, He has something more for us. And so, He said, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And now for verse 8. And it says, finally, brethren. Finally, last but not least, to cap it all off. In addition to this, let's not forget this. Finally, brethren. He says, finally, prepare for some deliberate action. Mentioned earlier, gird up the loins of your mind. That is in reference to the folks back then would wear long garments. And when it came time to work, time to get busy, they had to gird up and pick it up because they didn't want it to get in the way of the work that they were getting ready to do. It's time to get busy. Now it's our turn. We have a role to play in our peace before the Lord. In the Lord. We have a role to play. It's time to gird up the loins of your mind. Finally, brethren. Finally, whatsoever things are true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there be any virtue in these things, if there be any praise, think on those things. What do we think about? What does the world present? So much that's presented are things that either you don't know that they're true, the rumor mill can be really effective in taking our peace. You don't even know if it's true. And then we think about all these things that get stirred around. Did you hear so-and-so said? Did you know what might could possibly happen? No, I don't know what might could possibly potentially happen later. But we can get our minds so tied up on all of those things and it takes our peace. Is it true? I don't know. Well, then maybe I shouldn't spend much time on it. Or is it true according to the gospel truth? Do I spend a lot of time thinking and meditating on things that are just inconsistent with what the Scripture brings? And Paul said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Are they honest? The world spends a lot of time thinking, talking, dramatizing things that aren't real honest. Things that aren't very just. Things that aren't pure. Things that aren't of good report. And if the enemy can have his way, that's where he will have us dwell. He will have us think and rent out space in our minds, long-term leases. Not day-to-day leases, but the enemy can get us to sign up for indefinite rental leases in our minds. And he gets to have an apartment in our minds that he gets to move into and cause us to think about all kinds of things that do nothing but take our peace. And so Paul is encouraging us that in the world of trouble, don't forget who it is that's in control. Don't forget to think about all of the good things that there is to think about. Help keep your perspective in order. People's perspective can get so off. We can get blinders put on where we don't see what's going on the left. We don't see what's going on the right. You know, my dad used to teach us growing up, you know, when we were young, you know, things can go wrong in life and we can put our blinders on and then we bring that thing right up close to us. And that's all we see. That's all we focus on. Maybe it's a fault that we have in our own lives. And we allow that to be the only thing we can see. We just put it right there. Well, maybe what we need to do is pull back and look at the big picture. Rise above it. Get a broader perspective and view on what this is all about. The Lord wants us to get a broader perspective and view about what this is all about. I've come to bring you life. And more abundant life. I didn't come to bring anxiety and ongoing depression and trouble. Yes, we're going to face those things. I'm not trying to say that we're going to have a state where you never feel or experience any of those things or be tempted by them. But don't accept them in life. Don't give over to them and then pet it and water it and fertilize it and say, well, okay, I'm just going to accept that that's the way it is. Turn your heart and your mind up. Lift your eyes up to the hills from which cometh your help. Our help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. He wants something special for us. But we have to turn our hearts and our minds to Him if we're going to experience those special blessings that He has for us. Yes, there's going to be trouble in life. Have you read that book, In His Steps? The message of the book was, what would Jesus do? And it's been a while since I've read it. But if I remember correctly, the pastor of the church had kind of an experience that turned his heart and his mind. And he came to church and he challenged the congregants that how about, and I think it was for a month, it might have been a different period of time, for some period of time, commit yourself to asking, what would Jesus do before every single action? And then commit to following it, no matter what you think the consequences were. And then the book told the story of what happened to the people that made the hard decisions to do whatever Jesus would do, that they thought Jesus would do, regardless of the consequences. And it's quite a stirring book. It causes you to think about your own life. It causes us to think, well, as a Christian, isn't that kind of what we should do? Is ask ourselves that? And I was thinking about that this past week, and I thought, well, I wonder what it would be like if we just chose one day and practiced these verses we just read. We said, well, tomorrow, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. No matter how I feel, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to let my moderation. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to control my passions. I'm going to be ready to forgive. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to come before the Lord with my cares, but with thanksgiving. And I'm going to think about things that are true and that are honest and just and pure and lovely and have good report and have virtue and praise. And those are the things I'm going to think about. If we did those things for one full day, do you think it would change anything? Think it would change your perspective? What if we did it for a week? Or a month? Or what if we purposed to live our lives like that? Could be life-changing. You remember when Peter and John were going to the temple to pray and they passed by the gate beautiful and there was the lame man. Peter and John walked by and the man no doubt looked to them for what he thought could best satisfy him in life. Silver and gold. And we all have those things that we think will best answer the problems that we have in life. We do. All of us today could write down what our problems are. And then beside it, we would write, well, if only this were the case, then that problem would be solved. All of us, oftentimes, I know there's sometimes we don't know what the solution is. We'd like to hit the rewind button sometimes, but that's not possible. And this man was at the gate and he thought he knew what he needed, silver and gold. And Peter said, look on us. Look away from the cup, look away from the silver and gold, look away from whatever it is you feel like is the answer. Look up, look on us. We have something for you that is the answer to your need. And it's not what you think it is. And I wonder sometimes, if Jesus passes by our way and He says, look up. Look up. Look at me. I had the answer. It's different from what you thought it was.
but I have the answer. Sometimes we don't stop and slow down enough, cast our cares on the Lord enough, rejoice enough, recognize it's not all about us enough. Allow the influences of the world to control what we think about for the bulk of the day. And we don't be still and allow the still small voice of the Lord to penetrate into our hearts and give us the answer that we need. I know we face trouble in life. I know that troubles are real. And I'm not trying to minimize them, because I've been acquainted with trouble. I know what trouble is. I've lived long enough to know what trouble is. And it's real. And it touches your life. And it can hurt. And it can create dark days. It can put you in a place where you don't know how you're going to take another step. I know that. And the Lord never said He was going to take all of that away. But here's what He did say. If you'll let me, I'll go before you. If you'll look to me and trust me and believe in me and get your mind off all of the negativity that surrounds you in this world and that the enemy would like to plant in our minds and have it grow and consume us. If you'll do that, the Lord has promised to be our light and our salvation. He's promised to help us through the troubled times. He's promised to be our friend and our companion, even when we don't understand. The psalmist said, taste and see. And I would encourage you today to taste and see of these verses. Allow these verses to come into your heart. Try them out. Taste them. Practice them. Promote them. Live them. Meditate on them. That the Lord might be able to do a special work for you in your lives in the midst whatever trouble you may be experiencing. May God be with each one of you, to go before you, to follow after you, to minister to your hearts and souls with His Spirit of comfort and grace and forgiveness. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.